And I want to say thank you to all you folks that got to come yesterday for the memorial service for Brother Ron Baker. We had it right here in Baker Auditorium. And he used to think that was so significant. You know, his name was Baker, and we got to come to Sunday school in Baker Auditorium. And we left some of the bulletins up here on the piano. If you weren't here yesterday, if you'd like to get one, I'd encourage you to get one. When I put the bulletin together, we fixed it all up. I wanted to put his testimony in there. He got saved the week that Lou Rossi came and preached in a revival service. And Brother Bill Dyson and Bill and Donna drove down here yesterday. We're here for the service from West Virginia. And Bill got to lead him to Christ that Wednesday night. And Ron signed up to take the Soul Winners Club training program. And in the program, we try to encourage the folks to write out their testimony and never forget where God brought you from. Never forget what God has done for you. And he came in my office and sat down and said, "Will you help me with this?" And I said, "Sure, I'll help you. I'll type it up for you. You just tell me what you want me to say, and I'll put it on there." And I want to read this to you. I fixed up a little page here, had his picture on it. And he listed it on there. He said, "I want this to be listed as my testimony by Ronald Baker." I said, "Okay, we'll do that." And this is what it said. And this is in the bulletin here. On Wednesday night, May the 9th, 2012, during our spring revival service at Church of the Open Door, evangelist Lou Rossi was preaching on a passage from the book of Matthew. I do not remember exactly what he said or what he was preaching on, but I do remember the Word of God speaking to my heart and showing me my need of a Savior. When Brother Rossi finished preaching, he gave the invitation to come down to the altar for anyone who wanted to be saved or to get right with God. So down I came to the altar. Bill Dyson met me at the altar and asked how he could help me. I told him that I wanted to know how I could go to heaven when I died. Bill took the Bible and showed me how that I was a sinner and that I deserved to pay the debt for my sin in hell. But then he showed me how that God loved me anyway and sent his son Jesus to pay for my sin debt by dying on the cross. And he was buried for me and that he arose again for me. Then Bill asked me if I would like to ask the Lord to forgive me my sin and come in my heart and save me. And I said, "Yes." And he had an exclamation point after that. I did not know what to pray exactly, so Bill prayed with me, and then I prayed and asked the Lord to save me because I was lost, and I knew I was going to hell, but I did not want to go there. I'm so glad that I came down that night and that someone took the time to show me how to be saved from the Bible. Now I know that I'm on my way to heaven, and one day I'll get to see my mom who died in 1995. I'll also get to be in heaven with my sister and my father who are both saved and know they're going to heaven when they die too. Now I'm learning how to be a soul winner so I can go and tell other people about Jesus too." And that was the testimony that he gave. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, it was hard to have a dry eye. We watched him go through this cancer thing for the last 2 years, a little over 2 years. And but now he's with the Lord. And man, I'm thankful that God saved him. And I'm thankful we have a church that preaches the gospel. And that we're able to give the gospel everywhere we go. Folks, for such a day as this, that's why he got saved. Because we never know when our last day is going to be upon this earth. I want us today to consider that testimony. Next Sunday morning and evening, Brother Lou Rossi will be back with us preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night. His wife is teaching the ladies' event on May the 3rd here Saturday night. And Brother Rossi is going to be here preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night here at our church. And I want to encourage you to be here, to be here. Thank God for the opportunity to be in the house of God. To hear the message of the gospel. You know, most of you know Brother Ron. Everybody called him Tiny. Okay? Tiny. Okay? But you know what? He had a heart of gold, and he loved the Lord, and he was not ashamed of the gospel. And I'm thankful that God saved him. And I just wanted to share that with you this morning, okay? If you'd like a copy of it, we got some up here. His brother left the flowers. This is the flowers that he brought for his service yesterday. And he didn't have much of anything. And but it just thrilled that family to death to see the folks that came yesterday. I want you to know that. I appreciate you being here. Those of you that got to come, I appreciate it so much. All right. Now, today being the 27th day of April, 2025, we're going to start this 11th lesson. And I want this lesson to be a blessing to you. And it's entitled today, The Wisdom of Appropriate Words. The Wisdom of Appropriate Words. Now, the Bible said here in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? It's a good verse. But I want to ask you this question today. I ask myself this question as I study for this lesson, and as I try to stand before you and teach you, and go out during the week and tell folks about Christ. Are the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart acceptable in the sight of my Lord? Are they acceptable? We as Christians, we speak volumes, not just with our words, but with our life, with our lifestyle, with the way that we walk, the way that we talk, the actions that we show, and all that we do. We speak volumes to the world. And the world needs to see something different than what they've got. Amen? If there was nothing different, there'd be no reason to get saved. But there is something different. And God makes that difference. King Solomon was certainly right when he wrote in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Words spoken in anger or in an arrogant hatred or sinful pride can kill a person's spirit, can't they? You can kill a person spiritually with just words that we speak. And we don't want to do that. But as our lesson today teaches us, our main Bible verse states, a word spoken in due season, how good is it? How good is it? Often Jesus spoke just the right words at just the right time in many a person's life while he walked upon this earth. And if we're going to be like Jesus in our actions and in our words and the things that we say and we do, we must desire for our lips, for our thoughts, to speak that which is both pleasing unto God and helpful unto men. Now, let me say this, and it's quite obvious in our world today. Not many people like truth, okay? They didn't like it in Jesus' day. Herod asked, Pilate asked, what is truth? Because they couldn't discern what truth really was. But folks, let me tell you something. This book is truth. God's word is truth. And we need to speak truth in a right way. And my desire today would be that we'd put a lock on our lips, okay? When we need to put one on there. But we need to put a lock on our lips until we know and we understand how that what we say can and will affect not only someone else, but it will affect our testimony as well. What we do and what we say affects our testimony. It affects other people's testimony. And you can kill or you can heal with the power of the tongue. And that's what we want to do today. We want to look at this lesson. The lesson's entitled The Wisdom of Appropriate Words. And I want us to look at it today. Number one, we've broken this thing down. And I want you to see, first of all, the folly of inappropriate words. Now, I put down several Bible verses. I tried to put in all the verses and things that came to my mind as I was working on this lesson. And they're in there. I may have some more. I don't know. When I was working on the lesson, I just wanted to speak what God wanted me to say. And I hope it'll be a help to you today, okay? I want you to see today the folly of inappropriate words. Appropriate words can be a major source of strength and encouragement in a person's life. But inappropriate words can hurt people and destroy not only the one to whom the words are spoken, but inappropriate words can also destroy the testimony of the one speaking those words. And so we have to be careful about what we say and how we say it. A lot of times it's not what we say, but it's how we say it, the attitude in which we do it. Words have a great impact on people, do they not? And we need to remember that today. So this is why we need to choose the right words instead of the wrong words when we speak. Okay? We need to speak as God would have us speak. And in the book of Proverbs here, Solomon addresses the consequences of inappropriate words spoken to and about people. Okay? Now, I want you to see this today. Number one, A, I want you to see words spoken to people. Now, remember, we're looking at the folly of inappropriate words. And first, I want us to see the words that are spoken to people. I want you to turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 18. And here the Bible said, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Words can penetrate like a sword, going deep, inflicting pain, and even drawing blood. Okay? Many people today bear the scars of painful and hurtful, harmful words. They bear those scars. These people bear the emotional, the social, the mental, and even the spiritual scars of inappropriate and unsuitable words. Words that are so often used to humiliate people, to lacerate people, to just demean a person. That's why I try to stay off of Facebook. I'll tell you what, folks write all kinds of stuff on there, and I'm thinking, why do you want to tell the world this and you not just take it to God? You know, don't demean yourself and put garbage out there like that. And folks, I would encourage you, be careful what you put out there. Because once it's there, and they'll find it. Folks find it. But these type of words are unsuitable to God, and they're inappropriate to men. And I want us to see today that children are many times at the brunt end of such verbal abuse. Boy, I've heard parents cussing at their children and yelling at them and just making them it's just bad. And then when their kids grow up, those kids use the same language and have the same attitude as mom and dad. And then they wonder, what's wrong with my child? Well, you better look in the mirror, okay? You better look in the mirror. And we need to look at this. We need to think about this thing, because inappropriate words can crush emotionally and spiritually any person, especially young people. Now, I'm reminded of the following story of a young man in Harford County just shortly after my wife and I moved here back in 2011. It was in the Baltimore Sun. The article was dated January the 10th, 2012. The police said, a 16-year-old admits killing his father, dumping the body in a pond. The shooting occurred down in Bel Air, and the man's body was dumped in Aberdeen. The neighbors said they'd heard the screams for years, shouting in the middle of their quiet Bel Air neighborhood, cursing and threats so loud that they could be heard a block away at night. Late Monday, at the time of this article, back in 2012, The conflict between father and son ended violently with a 16-year-old young man named Robert C. Richardson III accused of murdering his father. His father was only 58. And then dumping his body in a pond behind the relative's house. Police say the son confessed to the crime and told them where to find the body. Police said that they were still investigating the motive behind the killing, but neighbors said that they had heard arguing inside the home for years leading up to the shooting. Neither father nor son had a criminal record, according to police. None of the neighbors interviewed recalled witnessing physical violence. One neighbor remarked, "I'm not condoning what the kid did, but that man was verbally abusing his son." A student at C. Milton Wright High School in Bel Air lived with his father, said he lived with his father. The court records depict a family struggling to survive on an income below the poverty level. The teenager's mother died 6 years ago after battling cancer. The young boy lived with his father, and he had been charged as an adult with first-degree murder, second-degree murder, and a handgun crime. At this time, he was being held without bond in the Harford County Detention Center. News of the killing spread quickly throughout his school and his neighborhood. And one of the students said this. He actually told me that he hated his dad. And he told this student that his father was physically and verbally abusive. He would swear at him, and the boy would wear the same stuff every day to school. Jones described Richardson as nice. He said people at the school called him Bob. Another young man, 17, also a junior, described him as always being quiet. Fellow students said that the boy did not participate in many school activities. The police had been alerted to the violence at 10:45 p.m. on that Monday when the Harford County Sheriff's deputies received a call from a sister of the teen reporting the domestic disturbance and possibly involving a weapon, and it gave the address here. They began to search for the blazer that the boy had driven off, and they said they found him. He ultimately crashed into a cinder block wall, and no one was injured in the crash, but he jumped out of the SUV and he ran. They chased him down on foot. They arrested him, and then he confessed to the murder and told where they could find the body of his father. Police said that the young man confessed that he had shot his father, told the investigators where to find the body, which the police said was discovered submerged in a pond near Gilbert Road in Aberdeen. A man who answered the door at that house Tuesday evening declined to comment. And then it said in this article, an average of about 225 people kill a parent every year in the United States. According to research conducted by Kathleen Hyde, a professor of criminology at the University of South Florida, she wrote a book entitled Why Kids Kill Parents, Child Abuse and Adolescent Homicide. We're looking into why this happened, said the sheriff. The boy didn't have very much clothing. The father had said many bad things. It lists all these things he listed. But here's a 16-year-old boy, and this was 13 years ago now. All because of inappropriate words. Most of it. Sad situation, folks. But you know what? That's what our world is like. And lost people do what lost people do because they're lost. And they need a Savior. And you and I have the words of life and can't find a convenient time to go and share it. What a shame. What a shame. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 27 and 28. I want you to look at this verse. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer or a gossiper separateth chief friends. Have you ever been around somebody that just always speaks harshly or badly about other people? I avoid those people. I try to avoid them. I don't want to be around them. That man or that woman that is perverse according to the Word of God, so many times if you're not careful, you find yourself hanging around with those folks, you'll become just like them if you're not careful. Have fried preacher for supper. Roast preacher for breakfast. And then for dessert, they'll run the church down. I heard a man one time say, I'm leaving your church because I just don't get fed like I feel like I ought to. And I thought to myself, well, if you'd come for the meal every Sunday, you might be fed. Amen. You know what? The devil uses all kinds of excuses to get people to use inappropriate words and think inappropriate thoughts. But Solomon observed that the froward man soweth strife. And he twists words around in order to cause strife and somehow make himself seem superior to others. But the Bible calls him froward or perverse. You need to mark that man or that woman, and you need to avoid them. We need to do that. Solomon also observed that a whisperer separateth chief friends. It may take a lifetime to develop a good friendship with many a person. It could take a lifetime to do that. But it only takes a moment, folks, for a few bad words spoken about somebody to destroy that relationship. It doesn't take long. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Look at this with me. I like this verse. I preached a message on this many years ago. But the Bible said, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Wow. That's a verse filled with wisdom, is it not? That word talebearer is also understood as whisperer. And where there is no whispering, no gossiping about people, the problem disappears. So I would encourage us not to be gossipers, not to be whisperers, not to be talebearers today. Lift up instead of put down. Amen? I think that's the thing that we need to look at today. Inappropriate words do several things. Number one, they damage and they destroy people's lives. Inappropriate words damage and destroy people's lives. Number two, they disrupt and they ruin friendships and relationships. That's a fact. Number three, they knock down and destroy a person's reputation and credibility. I think you may have seen it on the news. The Speaker of the House, or not the Speaker of the House, but what's the lady that does the interviews for President Trump? Caroline Leavitt, yeah. The women on The View chewed her up, spit her out, and all this other stuff. She sued them and won $800 million lawsuit against ABC for their inappropriate words. I thought, get them. They knock down and they destroy a person's reputation and credibility. That's what we're seeing in our world today. They don't like truth, so they want to ruin your reputation and ruin your credibility. But number four, inappropriate words destroy the testimony for Christ of the one who speaks them. We bear a testimony today as born-again believers. And that testimony is not ours. It's his. John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for his testimony for Christ and the Word of God. If we were to be exiled anywhere, where would we be exiled to today for our words? That's something to think about. Inappropriate words. Hey, do you know somebody that's always complaining? They always complain and say, nobody likes me. Nobody ever wants to be around me. Or those people just aren't very friendly to me. Well, there may be a good reason, okay? There may be a good reason. I believe the Bible said, I believe Solomon wrote this. If a man has friends, he's got to show himself friendly, okay? We need to do that. There may be a good reason. And let me say this, and I'm not trying to intimidate or anything else like that. And if you got something to say, just remember something today. My ears aren't garbage cans, okay? So I don't need your trash, okay? And you don't either, okay? And when you're tempted to do stuff like that or say something bad like that, ask God to give you strength not to do it, okay? Don't run somebody else down. Don't criticize. And hey, listen, I've learned that if I haven't walked in their shoes, I don't understand everything they're going through yet. But when I do understand, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to try to help them with the Word of God the best I can. I'm going to give them truth. I want to remind you the words of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote this, and he said, now I beseech you, therefore, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. I think that is in Romans chapter 16, I believe it is, verse 17. I didn't write the verse down. But he said, mark them and avoid them. And there's a reason we need to avoid them. It's so that we don't become like them. All right? Solomon summed it up nicely in Proverbs 26, 20, in that verse I just read. Where there is no wood, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. 16, 17? Did I put it in there? Okay, I just didn't put it in my notes. Okay, good. As I'm doing the lesson, the Lord's giving these verses here. I'm trying to type it up in my lesson, and I'm coming over to the other side and typing it in the outline and trying to get the two together. And sometimes I don't get my brain doesn't function the same way. So, but the fact is, unwholesome words and inappropriate words that are spoken or written about a person do not bring honor and glory to God. And if they don't bring honor and glory to God and they only tear down and destroy, then they're inappropriate words, folks. And we just need to be aware of that today. Let's think before we speak. Have you ever gotten to the situation and your flesh kicks in before the Spirit has a chance to do anything? Yeah. Old wretched man that I am. And boy, I fight that flesh just like you do. I'm tempted sometimes to just go into attack mode. And you can't do that, folks. We need to use appropriate words. The folly of inappropriate words. But secondly, I want you to look today at the fruit of appropriate words. The fruit of appropriate words. Now, I'm not going to get all this finished, I don't think. But I'm going to try to get part of it. But I want you to see something today. Inappropriate words yield only folly and destruction. Okay? But appropriate words result in fruitful edification and encouragement. That's the words we want to speak. And the Bible said here, it talks about this with words spoken to people. Now I want us to look at this first of all. Words spoken to people. Solomon observed that appropriate words fall into either one of two categories. One of two. It's either affirmation or their confrontation. We're either affirming or we're confronting things. Okay? Both can contribute and have a positive effect. Both of those can do that. They can yield at least five results or fruits that will edify and encourage a person. I want to give you those fruits today. Number one is the fruit of edification. The fruit of building up. We want to build up the saints of God. We know that the world does not want us to have a good testimony. But God wants us to bear His testimony in our lives. So many folks want to come back and say, well, I've done this and I've done that. Listen, if that was what got you to heaven, There'd been no reason for Jesus to die on the cross. So we need to remember what Christ has done for us. We were lost. We were in our sin. We can't help ourselves. We can try the best we can, and yet we live to the flesh, don't we? We need the power of God in our lives and in the words that we speak. And here, I want you to understand this. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 2. Solomon observed this fact. And I want you to notice this. He said, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright." In other words, those that speak truth, and you're wise in the Word of God, you're wise allowing God to give you that strength to do it, you use knowledge the right way. You use the Word of God the right way. Okay? That's what he's saying. But look at the contrary part of it. "But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." And boy, we see that in our world today. Good grief. We see that everywhere we go. We as Christians, as individuals, okay, as individual Christians, we have a responsibility and a duty to edify and to build up one another in the strength and the power of God's Word and in the power of His Spirit. Listen, many times, yesterday, I got here a little after 8. I didn't leave until going on 6. And when Ron's brother came in, he didn't have a way to get here. He had Uber bring him. He got in, and we fixed up a little table down here. He brought the urn in, and we put little pictures of Ron and his vocational rehab or his vocational school certificates and his graduation certificates and pictures of him and all this stuff up on a little table. And about 9:30, 20 minutes till 10, nobody had showed up yet. And he said, "I really appreciate you trying to do this for me, but I don't think we're going to have anybody come." And I said, "Buddy, I got folks from my Sunday school class that's going to be here. I emailed them all. And I know they're going to be here." And he had his sister drove in. And she came, and they were here. Her husband came. Their daughter came. And then a lady from hospice came and talked about Ron's testimony for Christ. And then another cousin came. And I think they ended up with 5 or 6 folks here from their family that came for the service. But the majority of the people that were here were from this class. Everybody filled up in here. I mean, it was from our class. Several of them came up and spoke words of encouragement and remembrance of the testimony that Ron had for being faithful to live for God. Be faithful in the living cross. Be faithful for the soul winning. Putting up the stage, taking down the stage. Going out to Baltimore and passing out gospel tracts. Listen, when you had Big Ron with you, you didn't worry about anybody bothering you, okay? He just kind of scared everybody off. But we'd go down the streets of Baltimore. Man, he'd go right there with us and help out. And you know what? The words that were spoken yesterday edified that family. And when he came back to me after the service, he said, "I want to thank you." He said, "I was just ready to go home. I was just ready to go home." And you know what? Those words that folks came and said lifted up that family and encouraged them. And man, I was never more proud of our folks as I was yesterday. Just so proud of you. You know what? There's a fruit of edification, that building up of the saints. We just need that. The world needs it. They want to see something that's real. And we need to see it as well in our own lives, do we not? We need to have that. Mothers also have a responsibility, as do fathers. But God places a lot of responsibility on the father as the head of the home. Fathers, you and I are the ones that God's looking to lead our family in the right direction. And we don't need to use this excuse, "Well, my wife won't let me." Don't do that. Don't do that. Mm-mm. Wives, you're not the head of that home. You may be the neck that turns the head, but you need to help turn it in the right direction, okay? But the Bible said this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Man, there have been times when my grandchildren, they get mad at their parents. I don't know why they do that, you know, but they do. And we would speak to them and say, now listen, you know your mom and daddy's right. You know you need to listen and do what they said. Yeah, but I just didn't like it. Well, get over it. You know, it's the right way. And you need to go back in there and apologize to them and love them. They do give you a house. They do give you food to eat every day. They do give you clothes on your little back and all this other stuff. And you need to love them and thank them for what they've done for you. And so, fathers, we're to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But ladies, God also gives you a responsibility to build up, to have that responsibility to their children. And it's seen in Titus chapter 1. I want you to look at this. Titus chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 15 and going down through Titus chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible said, unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. And even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Why? That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. I like that part. Obedient. I'm just kidding you here, but I do like that. To their own husbands, not somebody else's husband, okay? That the word of God be not blasphemed. You see, there's a purpose, folks, in appropriate words. And what is that purpose? That the word of God be not blasphemed by those outside. We need to bear a good testimony. Even children have a responsibility. Where's Damien? Damien just had a birthday. Damien, how old did you turn? 8 years old. This verse is for you, buddy. All right, listen. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. That means you got to share your candy bar there with mom and dad, okay? All right. Your birthday candy bar there. I'm just kidding you. But you know what? Every one of us has a responsibility for using appropriate words. Words that will exalt, lift up, build up our families, our loved ones, and those that we care about. Now, I'm not going to have time to finish up the rest of this lesson. We'll finish it out next Sunday. I'll mark it right here where I'm at. But folks, there is a folly of inappropriate words, and there is the fact and the fruit of appropriate words. And we need to consider how we use the words that we speak today. Let's use them to bring honor and glory unto God. Amen? All right. We'll finish up the lesson next Sunday. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for this lesson. And how appropriate, Lord, this lesson is in the time in which we live. So many today are using words that are so inappropriate. They use curse words as everyday language. Lord, they misuse words and they tear down instead of build up. But Father, I pray, God, that you'll help us to be servants of you. And Lord, that our words would be spoken, it would bring honor and glory to your name in all that we do. Lord, I pray now, God, that you'll bless in our service, bless our pastor as he stands to preach. Help me, Lord, today. I've got two baptisms here today, Lord, and one is a blind man and one is a big man. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll give strength and wisdom and help them, Lord, to be encouraged today by taking that step of obedience and deciding to follow you. Lord, not only in salvation, but now, Lord, to let folks know they're not ashamed of what you've done for them. I pray, God, that you'll bless. Use the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in your eyes, O Lord. And help me, God, to bring honor and glory to your name. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for getting to be in Sunday school.